You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Like many sectors of our economy, higher ed is taking a hit. Dorms closed, athletic events canceled, classes online. According to polling data of more than 1,000 high school seniors that were queried about their situation nearly a month ago, one in six students who plan to be full-time students at four-year schools are changing their plans because of COVID. Are you a college student wondering what will happen in the fall? What guidance would you like from your school's administration? We're at 800-642-1234. Mark Burstein has been the president of Lawrence University in Appleton since 2013. He previously was executive vice president of Princeton. Mark, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate. Really a pleasure to be here.
Vicki Martin is here as well, has been president of Milwaukee Area Technical College since 2014, a native of Milwaukee and a first-generation college student. She's worked in higher ed for almost four decades. Vicki, welcome to you.
Thanks so much, Kate. I really appreciate being on today.
Well, let's start with you. What are you seeing for Milwaukee Area Technical College? What is the lay of the land right now?
Well, I think as most people know, Milwaukee right now is the epicenter for the rates of folks who have contracted the coronavirus. And so we are seeing that a lot of our students and our staff early on had contracted the disease, but they are doing much better now. They've recovered. And so we are really going online right now. And so what we did is we basically closed on March 17th, and then we converted 1,600 courses online, as many as we could. We have a lot of courses that we do require hands-on training, clinical sites for our healthcare students. And so we're going to finish them up in the summer. They fall under the essential career areas outlined by our governor. And so we want to make sure that they complete their education and can get into the workforce as soon as possible. So online virtual will be for all our summer classes, and then all the recovery classes will start June 7th. And then we're still debating on the fall. We have put out all our courses for our students. We're trying to determine how many of those can go online. We think about 68% of the courses. We're thinking more hybrid, but we will need to bring on some students on campus just because of the nature of what we deliver.
Yeah,
those courses really require it.
Mark Burstein, what are you seeing at Lawrence? What are you trying to put in place?
Yeah, Kate, thanks. We're a little bit of a different situation. Our student body has close to all 50 states represented and more than 40 countries. So we're spread around the world, and we're right now in distance learning. All of our students, or most of our students, are home. The focus really now is about the fall, trying to think through what it would mean to be open and have a residential learning community again. And that's what we're spending most of our time doing, trying to figure out how to make that happen, given the likelihood that the virus will still exist.
What would that mean to be residential? You think first to dorms, you think of meal plans, meal services. How would you care for those students and ensure their safety?
Yeah, it's a great question. And luckily we have guidance from an association of college health organizations, as well as other advice from other states around the country about how to do this. In many ways, a college campus, a residential college campus, is like a little city. And so it would mean putting in place many of the CDC guidelines and other suggestions that we hear for the general population. Testing, contact tracing, social distancing, managing spaces, so as Vicki mentioned earlier, that there could be space between people, et cetera.
We're talking with two college presidents this hour, Mark Burstein there from Lawrence University, Vicki Martin from Milwaukee Area Technical College, getting your take on your situation. Are you a high school student who has been accepted to college in the fall? What hardships are you facing? Has the pandemic changed your college plans? What are you thinking? And what have communications been like with your school? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Vicki, let's look at the financial picture for a moment. What is the financial impact on Milwaukee Area Technical College, and what does your budget look like?
Well, we were very fortunate that we finished up last year meeting our enrollment goals. And so this current fiscal year, which ran from last July through June, which we're coming up upon, we did just fine and we're going to be okay. Now, moving forward, what we did is we said, with so much uncertainty, well, let's map out some scenarios. Because as you just mentioned, we don't know what high school students are planning on doing, if they're going to take a gap year. But we also know that a lot of college students may stay closer to home and they may want to take some courses locally. So we're really not sure. During a normal recession, what we normally see is that it takes about a year before we see an enrollment bump. So what we're thinking is that we're going to do a best case, which is a flat enrollment, or a worst case scenario, which would be about a 20 to 25% drop in enrollments. So we are working on that right now. We're trying to determine what that would mean for our college. We know that as we go down in some areas, especially those face-to-face, hands-on, just because of the social distancing, we're going to have to offer more sections.
What would be face-to-face, hands-on? Can you give us an example?
Sure. The one we're working on right now is truck driver training, diesel mechanic. We're working on nursing right now. We're doing some simulation with the National League for Nursing that has been approved, but there's some additional clinical sites that have to be dealt with as well. And right now, they're not accepting anyone. We have construction fields. We have civil engineering, for example. Those are the kinds of courses that you really need to be on campus or out in the community, and that's what's really important. And so we have to think about those courses and make room for all of our business courses and our transfer courses, liberal arts and science courses that we think can be offered basically online or in a new adaptive way.
I'm going to pause there, Mark Burstein, I understand that Lawrence will be asking employees to take furloughs to cut expenses.
Yeah, we had to think about this this academic year, and actually it was a combination. We asked some employees to take furloughs. Also, many employees asked to take furloughs given their underlying health situation. So we try to accommodate those requests as well. But I think what's really more important is where Vicki went, which is the fall and next year. It's clear from our perspective that that students and families will have less resources to pay for an education. And for us, that means more financial aid. And that means a strain on our budget, trying to find the resources to support every student and family. So we're deep in the process of trying to find those resources to ensure that every student can complete their college degree.
Lawrence University President Mark Burstein, Vicki Martin, President of Milwaukee Area Technical College. We're looking at what college enrollment will look like in the future, how they're navigating this crisis. Will you or your student be forced to drop out of college or take a gap year due to the pandemic? What decisions are you making? Are you a college professor or administrator? What advice do you have for college students amid the pandemic? Join in now, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Vicki Martin and Mark Burstein here on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back. If you're just joining us, we're looking at how colleges are responding to the pandemic, what students need to know. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For first-generation and low-income students, the future was often precarious before the virus outbreak, and these students average a lower graduation rate than their financially stable peers. Are you a student who's been accepted to college? What hardships are you facing? Has the pandemic changed your college plans? If so, what is the new path forward? Be part of this 800-642-1234. We have Vicki Martin, president of Milwaukee Area Technical College, and Mark Burstein here as well, president of Lawrence University. They stay with us. Mark, with your enrollment of international students, how do you get those students back if they can't reenter the U.S.?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And I think also for us, even the lack of consulates in various different parts of the world, open consulates, U.S. consulates, is making it difficult for our students to get the kind of paperwork that they need. But we want to ensure that they can still be students at Lawrence, so we will likely offer distance learning for students who won't be able to make it back on campus. We're still hopeful that the infrastructure will resume itself and students will be able to make it back to Appleton, Wisconsin, which is our preference.
Vicki, as you look at your scenarios and you do your scenario planning, what happens if you see a steep decline in students? What do you do?
Well, as Mark mentioned, we will probably be looking at furloughs for our employees, because we know that once we get a vaccine and some treatment and more testing available, as it's starting to be right now, that probably as we turn the corner into the next spring semester, we think things will turn around. So it's getting through that one semester, we believe. And we're working hard to really think about just reinventing ourselves and thinking differently about the way we offer, what we offer. Part of our college is Milwaukee PBS, and we're thinking about how do we use television the way it was used when our board originally purchased it, to think about how do we deliver education differently and in a way that it really reach out to our community. So we're really trying to figure out what to do, but internally we know that we will have a plan in place if in fact our worst case scenario does come true and it's 25% decline. We hope that's not the case, but we are certainly prepared.
Vicki, you have six campuses. Is that right? Four classes?
Well, we have four regular campuses and two additional learning sites, and we have we're in 30 community-based organizations.
Would you perhaps limit the number of campuses? Would you downsize in your campus reach?
That's a great question. It's like you've been in our planning. So with the DNC coming as well this summer, and looks like they're going to do it probably in a hybrid format as well, we've limited ourselves to our Milwaukee campus and our Oak Creek campus because of the size of the campuses, of the two larger sizes. We're offering some limited education at one of the sites because it has some nursing education there. So, we're trying to spread out what we offer to our different campuses. But, you can just imagine just the sanitizing of all the buildings and just the movement of students. We have approximately 30,000 students annually. So we really have to be very aware of and cognizant of, what we need to do to make sure people are safe and healthy for the year. So, yes, we're going to get down to Milwaukee campus for sure, as our main campus, our largest, and then a little bit at Oak Creek. We may open up in the fall some of West Allis and some of Mequon campus as well.
Talking with Vicki Martin, president of Milwaukee Area Technical College, Mark Burstein here, president of Lawrence University in Appleton, hearing your thoughts as well. Are you a college administrator or professor? What advice do you have at this time for college students navigating this pandemic? Are you a parent of a college-bound student? What are your kitchen table conversations like right now? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Mark, I want to look at the CARES Act here. Lawrence University and MATC as well, they got some funding through the Federal CARES Act this spring. How much money did Lawrence get, and how is it being used?
Great question, Kay. We got a little over $1 million through the CARES Act. Half of that goes directly to students and families. And we're in the process of dispersing that right now, seeing where students and families are, asking them to apply for funds. You know, it's tough economically for many families across this country and around the globe. And we need to really stand with the students that are engaged at Lawrence right now. So the money goes directly to them.
Vicki, how have you dispersed your money? I understand you got about $8.5 million.
That's right. And so we decided to, as Mark just mentioned, 50% has to go to the students. We decided to do 75% just because we have so many students in need. When we added it all up, it means each student who is eligible will get about $500. We've dispersed a little bit over $1 million to about 2,000 students so far, and we've got a ways to go yet.
Has it been difficult getting that money out? Because there's been talk that, you know, you really have to document and you have to figure out who the money is going to. Have you found hurdles like that, Vicki?
Yes. In the beginning, just to figure out Title IV, who was eligible for that, who was not eligible, because it had changed some of the guidance once we received it. And so we spent some time with that. But I think even to the students, to when we send it out and say they have to fill an application, they have to make sure they filled out the FAFSA, it's just another hurdle. But we're helping our students through that process because they desperately need this additional money. So we're doing everything that we can to make sure that they get the funds that are coming to them.
Mark, has it been cumbersome in reallocating these funds, dispersing them?
I think that what Vicki described is exactly accurate for Lawrence as well. The rules are complex, and so we had to make sure that we were using the funds in the way that Congress expected us to.
Some university leaders have been lobbying Congress to exempt them from liability if there is a coronavirus outbreak on their campuses. Mark, is this something that you've been talking about, discussing, or are you concerned about liability?
I think anyone who's running an organization in the United States today is concerned about liability connected to the virus. That would be stores and other activities as well as college campuses. So being clear about what our role is as institutions, as organizations, is going to be critical over the next year.
You know, Mark, you had this thing about having an open door policy with your students a couple times each term. You had a lot of contact with your students. And I'm wondering how you're doing without that type of contact, and how are you reaching these students who you know very well?
Yeah, and I think that this is one of the real parts of loss for me, and I think for many of us who work in higher ed, which is the connection directly with students. It gives you a certain amount of energy and understanding about what's happening on your campus that's obviously much more difficult now. You know, I'm really fortunate that first my students feel completely comfortable calling, emailing me, FaceTiming me, using Zoom to connect to me. So I have many of those connections. We also still have about a little under 200 students on campus, given their personal situations, they were not able to go home. And I've really tried to stay in contact with them as well. Actually, 2 weeks ago, I didn't hand out any longer candy bars after they picked up dinner to just check in with them and hear what's going on with them.
So less than 200 students on campus. How are they doing? What are you hearing? And how is their health?
Well, their health is, I would say their physical health is very good. We have been extraordinarily fortunate about the lack of spread of the virus on campus right now. But you know, this pandemic is tough for all of us, and I think it is especially tough for this part of our population. This sense of loss and the feeling of isolation is palpable for college students right now. And all of us who are in higher education really need to think about this and try to create ways that this population can experience what they should be experiencing during their college lives.
Are these students who couldn't go back home for one reason or another international students? Who are they?
So it's a combination. Certainly, some of them are international students who couldn't make it home. Some of them are students where Lawrence is their first home. We do have some students who have complicated family situations, especially lower income families, and they felt that staying on campus was the best choice for them.
We have leaders from Lawrence University, Mark Burstein here, Vicki Martin of Milwaukee Area Technical College. Were you accepted to an out-of-state school but now contemplating attending an in-state college? Do you have a college student in your household? What financial stresses has the pandemic placed on your family? Time to talk here, 800-642-1234. We'll get back to this, maybe hear from you right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a quick mention here. We have reporters around the state working every day on developments related to COVID-19. You can find stories, analysis, it's all in one place at WPR.org/COVID. Right now, we're looking at how the coronavirus is changing college life in America. Colleges' acceptance rates are up from recent lows and may go higher as schools start aggressively courting applicants. With an increasing number of incoming freshmen reconsidering their options for the fall, many staying closer to home, international students may be unable to enter the U.S. Some colleges and universities, they're trying to very hard to hit their enrollment goals. So what is your connection to higher ed? What decisions are you making for the fall? What's the most difficult unknown for you to negotiate? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. Mark Burstein is president of Lawrence University in Appleton. He stays with us. Vicki Martin is here as well, president of the Milwaukee Area Technical College. Vicki, you mentioned changing mini classes, 1,600 courses, to online courses, and you had to ramp up, do that very quickly. Are you going to continue offering those types of courses online in the future, considering that some of your students have limited computer access, internet access?
Thanks, Kate, for bringing that up. We are seeing the digital divide in real time. We had so many students who, when we did ramp up and offer all of those online courses, contact us and say, "That's great, I don't have any access," not only to devices, but also to the internet, the Wi-Fi. And so what we did is we did hand out about 1,000 Chromebooks so far. We know that their need continues and is really great. We're trying to now figure out Wi-Fi access. And so we've put together a package for some of our Promise students to really be thinking about that Wi-Fi access along with a Chromebook as part of coming to school. We're also trying to make it as part of the financial aid package. So students completing the FAFSA is so critical and so important moving forward so that they do have the funds that are necessary to go to school and to stay in school. And so those pieces are really important. That digital divide and making sure that they have the access, but also we found out they didn't know how to use the devices that we were giving them. So the reason they came to us was to do the in-person. And so we had a lot of support online for them as well, including our instructors who had to learn very quickly as well of how to convert their classes to a different format and how to use our internal structures and tools. And so in a very short period of time, we were able to get the help that both the faculty and our students needed. And we had a lot of advisors and support folks from our IT department who really did an unbelievable job of ensuring that people got the devices. And I just really call out to all of them because they did just an unbelievable job of doing that conversion. Now,
Vicky,
yes.
you mentioned Promise students. Who are Promise students?
So we have two Promise programs. One is direct from high school, and those students who are eligible, and it turns out if they're Pell eligible, they are eligible for the Promise along with some other criteria that we have, like a 2.0 grade point average in their first semester of their senior year. We did have ACT scores, but we waived that for this year, so that will not be needed. So they can just come in and complete the FAFSA, and that they'll be eligible if they finished high school. We also have an adult Promise for those students who have some college but have not completed. And so we've extended the deadline date for that. We've waived the application fees for all of our students to help them. So we now, July 17th is the new deadline date for both the adult and direct from high school. We know that students are contemplating and thinking about what they want to do, so we wanted to give them more time. And for the adult students, Promise students, what we also did is put out a debt forgiveness. So we found out that a lot of our students did have some debt at the school, and we do have a grant program that will help them get out of debt as well. So
more like a fresh start, if you will, for their program.
Well, you know what we call it? Start fresh. So
okay.
That's really good.
Mark, I want you to jump in here. How are you handling ACT, SAT scores right now?
So we have been test optional for over 10 years. We really try to evaluate the whole student as they apply to college. And we found that test scores skew to higher socioeconomic backgrounds. So we've been test optional, and we continue to be test optional. I think also connected to something that Vicky said, the FAFSA, the process to apply for financial aid. One of the concerning impacts across the United States of the virus is that families are applying in less percentage for aid than they were in previous years. And this is a very concerning trend for all of us in higher ed. So any listener who could be eligible for financial aid, I would really, really suggest going through the FAFSA process. Our FAFSA applications are up, which I'm pleased about, but across the United States, they're down.
Well, if the IRS has moved the date in which taxes are due until July, how does that impact FAFSA?
So FAFSA now, you can use your previous tax return, so your previous year. So it wouldn't require the 2019 year. It could use the 2018 year.
So, Mark, a lot of students, they want the full college experience, but we're hearing they don't want to pay the full tuition for remote online learning. We have a listener question here. Matt from Wausau emailed us, why are online courses costing the same as in-person classes? How do you look at tuition right now with so much online?
Yeah, so I think it's different for different institutions. At Lawrence, mounting distance learning actually is more expensive than it is for on campus. We still have one of the lowest faculty student ratios in the country, 8-1. So our classes are very small, even now that they're using technology to deliver much of that material. And all of the resources that were available to students are still available. Our Career Center, our Center for Academic Success, our counseling, our wellness group, a host of other services are still available to students.
So you don't see any cost-cutting measures just by changing the delivery mode of that education?
I definitely see cost-cutting measures on the room and board part of the comprehensive fee. Obviously, we're not charging students that, and we refunded it as soon as we moved to distance learning. So all of those costs, the costs that are connected to being on campus, we are not charging any family who doesn't have a student on campus.
Vicky, how are you working through those courses that you were offering online, but then the courses that you can't offer online, like the truck driving and things like that? How will you negotiate them? Will there be some that you just can't deliver anymore?
Well, our faculty have been very creative, working with our administrative team, as well as with public health officials, to really determine the safest way to ensure that we remain healthy and safe on campus. So they're taking all the precautions that are needed. And so we're doing temperature checks and hand washing and making sure that people are not sick when they come. They're wearing the face masks, all of those things and more to ensure that it's as safe as possible. So making sure that we don't have large groups, and we're doing as much as we can remotely. But as you just said, some of this just cannot be done and must be done in person, and we're taking every precaution necessary.
Talking with Vicky Martin, president of Milwaukee Area Technical College, Mark Burstein, president of Lawrence University in Appleton, as we spend this hour looking at the challenges facing higher ed amid the pandemic, particularly for community colleges and private institutions. Your insights as well at 800-642-1234. Mark, let's take a look at the funding models. Lawrence has a large endowment, if you will, to help run the university. But with the stock market in flux, has that endowment decreased in value?
Well, an endowment is like all of our retirement funds. Of course, it has decreased in value. We're extraordinarily fortunate that many members of the Lawrence community, the larger community, continues to support the university through philanthropy, and that's really what allows us to support our students and families, to make sure that we provide the financial aid necessary for them to continue their education.
Are you anticipating having to use additional funds in that endowment to fund operations, and is that difficult to do when, you know, is that tricky when endowments are usually tied to very certain things, very specific?
Yeah, most endowments at colleges and universities have a what's called a spending rule that governs the amount of money that goes from the endowment into the institution's operating budget. And that spending rule actually smooths the amount of money that comes into the operating budget, both when endowment values decrease and also when they increase. So even as endowment values increase, the amount of money you can take is not as much as if you just calculated it. So it's a way of trying to manage the relationship between these two entities to allow for these kinds of situations. We will follow those rules, as I'm sure all institutions across the country will.
Mark Burstein, president of Lawrence University. Vicky Martin, president of Milwaukee Area Technical College. Still time for you as we look at the evolving situation on college campuses with administrators, students, staff, sorting out what happens next. What happens next for you as America tries to figure out what college looks like in the coming months? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Mark Burstein and Vicky Martin here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Across the country this fall, college life is likely to be vastly different from campus to campus, a patchwork that might mirror what is currently happening in states and communities as some move forward toward widespread reopening, others keep their economies mostly closed. Colleges are now studying whether and how to move forward. Stan from Lodi emailed us to say their daughter attends UW-Milwaukee, was scheduled to graduate this month with her BS in biochem. The virus has caused a delay in some lab research work she needed to complete before graduating. She now has to substitute an individual research project during the summer so she can graduate in August or September with that biochemistry degree. And with a delay in graduating and all the uncertainties associated with COVID, Stan says she's decided to take a gap year, hold off on going on to her master's. There is one situation right there. Still time for your situation, 800-642-1234. Mark Burstein is here, president of Lawrence University. Vicki Martin, president of Milwaukee Area Technical College. Mark, I want to step back big picture here. You were at Columbia in New York City when 9/11 happened. You were at Princeton when the Great Recession hit. How do you compare what's going on now to those earlier crises?
Yeah, it's a great question. It is so much more difficult right now with the pandemic than in either of those situations. Obviously, being at Columbia during 9/11 was an extraordinary time, very, very tough in many ways. And the university was called upon to substitute for city services like fire and police, given the huge loss that the city experienced in 9/11 for a number of days. So that was unique, but in the end, it was one event. It was something to recover from. Here we're planning for, as Vicki mentioned earlier, a semester, a year, another full potentially academic year, impacted by the virus. Excuse me. So that means that the time horizon, the complications are so much different than either of those other two events.
How do you advise students right now, like for instance Stan's situation where the student is going to graduate with their undergrad, had intended to go on for a master's degree? What do you tell students right now who are graduating in the class of 2020?
Yeah, first, I feel badly for Stan's daughter. At Lawrence, we ensure that every student could graduate on time. And I think it's very important for institutions to make every effort to make that possible for every student. It is obviously a very changed landscape than it was even 6 months ago about what it means to be a member of the class of 2020. And what I've told our seniors over and over again is really try to make the choices that are best for them. Sometimes graduate school is the best choice given the alternatives for that student. We're also working very, very hard to find jobs for our graduates as well. And there are parts of the economy that are hiring and hiring relatively aggressively. It may mean that a student has to rethink maybe their dream job and what that would look like, but there are jobs available to graduates as well.
We have an email here from Carrie who says they're a veteran in Wisconsin hoping to go back to school in the fall as an adult to finish using Carrie's education benefits. But in order for the daughter to use the education benefits, Carrie has to exhaust her own. I'm wondering, Carrie says, if there is a plan set in place for schools, and will there be any changes made to education benefits for veterans? Vicki, could you field that?
Right. I'm not sure exactly. What we've been trying to do is work with different agencies and work with our federal and state representatives to share what the information is and the impact on our students. And then we try to fill in the gaps in terms of what their needs are with other sorts of scholarships. And many of the veterans are also eligible for our Promise program. So that's helpful as well to make sure that the students can continue their education. That's what's really important. But I think really communicating with those key constituents who can really be helpful to alerting our state and federal officials as to what this really means is important as well.
Vicki, higher education is out of reach for many people, many adults in our country. We're seeing fewer high school students in the demographics coming out and going to college. Are you concerned that this pandemic will worsen those disparities?
We are, and that's why we are working very hard to increase resources to our students and just let them know about our Promise programs. That's really why we developed it to begin with. We knew that there were a lot of students who were not coming to college because they didn't think they could afford to. And so we wanted to make it as affordable as possible and to give them a good quality education. We are a comprehensive 2-year institution, and that students who thought that they could never attend and wanted to attend a 4-year can start with us. And we have great transfer agreements. In fact, we have guaranteed transfer with UW-Milwaukee, UW-Madison, Marquette University, Green Bay, and Parkside, as well as over 40 other agreements. Lakeland University, we also have a continued Promise program for students in some key areas, IT being one of them, business is another, that they can continue their education into a 4-year and it can be very affordable. We wanted to figure out ways to overcome those economic and social mobility issues that these students feel so deeply, especially in our community. And we have really made a difference when we talk to our high schools, especially Milwaukee Public Schools. This Promise program has really made that difference to make it much more affordable. Access to a good college education is really critical for the future lives of so many of the people in our community.
Mark, oftentimes on our program during this pandemic, we've been asking, what's on your plate today? What challenge are you tackling? What does your day look like? Can you give us a glimpse?
It is definitely a moment in time. I think, like many people in the work world in the United States, I'm working harder than I have ever worked before, and the issues that are coming at us are so complex. And given the pandemic, we still know so little about what is happening to make the decisions that we need to make. So my day is most of the time spent on conference calls. We are a Zoom campus, so using Zoom probably 7 or 8 hours in a day, trying to sort out all the issues that face the university, especially around opening for the fall and making sure that we can keep everyone safe.
Vicky, what does your day look like, and what are you tackling today?
So, much like Mark, my day is also around meetings with my cabinet almost on a daily basis. Meeting with our what we call it used to be our emergency management center is now our integrated teams, and they're working together to make sure that we can make these decisions more quickly. It's the speed of the decision making and making sure they're good decisions. They don't have to be great, but they've got to be good decisions moving forward because there's so many to make. Just today, we're working on redeployment of some of our staff and thinking about where they're at right now and where we really need other staff to be during this time. Because there's so much changing and it's changing so quickly. So adapting quickly and being agile is just so important at this time. And so that's my day as well, trying to figure out how we're going to finish up our summer, but also be ready for our fall semester and beyond.
Vicki and Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really appreciate being here today. Thank you, Kate.
Sure. Vicki Martin, president of Milwaukee Area Technical College. Mark Burstein, president of Lawrence University in Appleton. Just ahead, it's On Point. College grads on launching lives and careers amid a pandemic. The class of 2020 is stepping out into an utterly transformed world. On Point talks with grads. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.